The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey there, it's Jamie Dean Big Newt, and how about that? We are now, this is our first show without an actual Bills game to talk about in 2024, but that doesn't mean we don't have a lot to talk about. I'm Jamie D'Amico, and he is Big Chris Newton. We're going to be coming at you every other week in the offseason here. Big Newt, it was the Pro Bowl. There's coaching announcements. There's draft talk. There's the Senior Bowl. Your cup runneth over. How are you feeling, big man?
What's going on, man? I mean, getting ready for the Super Bowl this week, and it's depressing, you know. The doldrums of the off season started, so everything's good though. I mean, just watching basketball, hanging out, and I know we're going to talk about the Pro Bowl, I guess, because we have to, because that's football going on this week. But I didn't watch it; I'm not interested in it. But I do got thoughts on what we should do. So,
okay, well, I like that. Let's Well, why don't we dive in talking about, as you mentioned, Pro Bowl, blah, 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 Super Bowl. But I want to look at it from a Bills perspective, too. But should we begin with the coaching hires?
Sure.
All right. I love that the Buffalo Bills promoted Bobby Babich to defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Take a look at what he's done. When he was the safeties coach, he had all pros. Coach those guys up. When he moved to linebackers coach, Matt Milano, all-world linebacker, and, Terrell Bernard coming out of nowhere to be one splash play after another.
That is true. You're right.
They say he's a great communicator. My wife says he's cute. I mean, what else could you want?
That is awesome that you and your wife could talk like that, man. That's great.
Oh, yeah, she is definitely not the type that would cut me for buying a woman a Hennessy.
Not, I could buy her a Hennessy. So you go to your wife and you say, oh, man, she's smoking. And your wife would be like, yeah, she is.
I might not be able to word it that way.
But you could buy, but you could buy her a Hennessy, though. I think I get a skillet across my head if I do either of those things. So that's why I'm just trying to figure out what's the line in your household, you know?
I think if I, okay, I will give you an example. We were in New York City and we were sitting outside of a coffee shop and there was this woman sitting there and I looked at her. The woman didn't have any eyebrows and she was really good looking. But also, like, when you take eyebrows away from people, they look very different.
Of course, yes.
And I was like, huh, I can't stop looking at her. But I think she's really pretty. I turned to my wife. I said, she's really striking looking, isn't she? My wife turns and goes, oh, my God, yeah. What an unusual appearance she has. She's beautiful. Yeah. So, see, that was respectful. It wasn't like, oh, sexual. Hey. Gotcha. I'm gonna go chat up this woman over there and buy her a Hennessy.
Well, saying somebody's attractive doesn't necessarily mean, oh man, I would love the, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's different. You could compliment somebody and say they look nice without having a sexual innuendo with it. So I could see that.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I can see
that. It's about being a professional.
I see. But I don't try that with my wife. So, you know.
Well, you're smart.
Yeah, I just try to keep it, you know. I don't get too comfortable. And plus, I don't want my wife talking about no dude. So, no. So, yeah. Do your wife be like, oh, my God, you know, he's handsome.
In the seven years we've been together, I've heard her say that fewer than a handful of times. Okay. I can only think of three off the top of my head.
Gotcha. Oh, man. If I would have met him a couple of years ago. All that stuff. See, I don't want to hear that. So you talk to your girls about that. I don't want to hear that.
Well, you know, this was actually really funny. I introduced her to a friend of mine who has a brother. And this dude is very good looking. And I said, you know, he's not even the good looking brother. She's like, oh, I'll believe that when I see it. And then
she said, hold my beer. Let me see.
And then it was, I don't know, like 3 or 4 months later, we got invited to this guy's birthday and we went and she was like, holy shit, you weren't kidding me.
Hell, so you knew what it was going to be.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, he's ridiculously good looking. Like, I mean, there's no way of denying that.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're thinking.
I'm just saying, I usually just judge guys off of their girls. Like, I'm like, oh, he must be a handsome guy because, you know, he get pretty girls. So that's right. How I look at it. Like, oh, okay. Like, you know.
Do you get any feedback from what women say about men? Like, when they're like, oh, wow, that guy's good looking, even if he's not with her.
Yeah, I guess that would be a way, I guess if you hear girls talk about it, but like I said, it's kind of one of the same thing. If a dude get all the girls, I'm like, oh, he must be a handsome guy. All the girls like him, you know? Like Travis Kelce, his ex-girlfriend, the black girl, she was beautiful. And now he got Taylor Swift. So I'm like, oh, yeah.
So he's doing something right.
Yeah, he must be, you know, the girls like him.
Now, I can objectively, I guess it's subjectively, tell when a guy is good looking. So when you get a guy like Pete Davidson, and he's got an incredible track record.
He does. We've talked about this on the pod before.
Yeah, yes, we have.
We have.
I look at this guy, and I'm like, he is so goofy looking, I don't understand how that works.
Right. But the thing about that is, looks is an important looks. You don't have to have good looks to be a guy.
Thank God.
Yes. women, it's about looks. You know what I'm saying? Guys, yeah. The first thing guys look at a woman is their looks. But
we're shallow.
Yeah. Women. You could be not a good, like, it's plenty of guys that are average guys with pretty girls, you know?
Yes.
Like myself, you know? So, you can have personality, a good job, good body. Like, women look at other things where men just are visual. Like, it just looks. So.
I can't remember who said it, but it was a comedian. And I think I brought this up just very recently on this podcast where Beyonce and Jay-Z. Oh, it was Chris Rock. He was saying that female beauty is transcendent. She could have worked at a Burger King and still end up with Jay-Z, one of the best rappers of all time, billionaire.
Right.
But if Jay-Z worked at a Burger King,
she wouldn't look his way.
That's not happening.
Right. Exactly. And that's why I said women look at other things.
Yeah.
Where men, they want the prettiest girl they could get, so.
Well, thank God we have personality because we don't have looks or money.
I know, right? Good thing I can make you laugh. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of money, may I announce that I have a new career?
Da, 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 da. Breaking news. Nice.
Breaking news. I am now working for an executive coaching company as a leadership coach.
So you go in and you teach people how to be leaders.
Sure. Yeah, we can. Yes.
That's just. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You explain. I feel like I just gave the dumbed down version.
I mean, that's basically it. We help people with decision making, building resilience, and organizational development. So how to make yourself and the people around you higher performers.
Gotcha.
That's so, hey, good. At me, people. I need clients now.
Oh, man. That's good stuff. Do you travel? Or will you be traveling? Or is it just being the D.C. area? Or?
It's not limited to any one area.
You just be in a DMV, or would you fly out somewhere?
Oh, no. We can do in person, but, you know, most meetings are online now anyway.
Virtual.
So.
You're right. Yeah, you can get that done virtually. I got you.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Congratulations.
No, thanks. Okay, yeah. Boy, we started talking about Bobby Babich, which is a fun name to say.
We just get off track, man. We can't stay on track for nothing.
No. And Joe Brady is now the full-time offensive coordinator, even though officially. He had multiple interviews.
Yes.
Both of them did.
Speaking of interviews, you see within the last 2 weeks, every last time we were on, we thought that Bill Belichick was going to get that Falcons job, right? Didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
They got Dan Quinn, right? No.
Dan Quinn,
yeah. Yeah.
I guess this is what happens when you have a bad record, you're old, and you're a dick.
Well, if all those things happen, yeah, you probably ain't got a chance. But I was just hearing through the grapevine that most of it was he wanted total control and the Falcons didn't want to give it to him. So I guess he, you know, overvalued what he was bringing to the table. And now he is unemployed. And I believe now all the hirings are done, huh?
They are. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think the Commanders was the last job available since a lot has happened the last 2 weeks.
It has. And word on the street is that Belichick and the CEO of the Falcons, Rich McKay, don't get along with each other. So that is kind of what it came down to. And I don't know who Belichick actually does get along with. But, you know, there are three things. His age, his personality, and his record that prevented him. If you swapped out any one of those three, he probably would have gotten a job.
Right. And it's funny because somebody tweeted when he went down to Atlanta on an interview, he stopped at Chick-fil-A. So he was in his suit and somebody took a picture with him on the phone. And then it was trending on Twitter that, man, Bill Belichick's in Buckhead eating Chick-fil-A. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like, this dude's on the job and be like, I'm just going to stop at Chick-fil-A and get, you know, a number one. Like, you know, I don't know.
It goes to show you, you could be making $5 million a year or more and still. You're going to want that damn fried chicken from Chick-fil-A.
Not that fried chicken. Do you eat out a lot?
Yeah.
You eat out a lot, don't you?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
It depends on the week, but usually at least twice a week.
I got you. Okay.
Is that a lot?
Twice a week? No.
Okay.
I have friends that literally eat out every day, one of the meals. Maybe not dinner, but they'll go somewhere for lunch or they'll stop somewhere at breakfast. They literally buy food every day from somewhere.
If I didn't cohabitate with my wife, it would be a lot different.
Yes.
Because I was eating out 4 to 5 days a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think when you're in a relationship and if you got, you know, well, my wife likes to cook, so. And she likes to save money. So, I mean, the house always has food and she cooks there pretty much every night. So, I'm lucky because of that.
So, a buddy of mine invited me and a couple of other people last night to do something that he and his former roommate had done together 10 years ago. And they're like, okay, we got to make this a tradition. Hey, guys, let's go to Red Lobster for endless shrimp. That was my first time at a Red Lobster since I was 8 years old. So 40 years ago.
Hey.
I went to Red Lobster. They brought the biscuits. I'm like, oh, these definitely live up to the hype. And then the food came. And it is crap, dude.
Really?
Oh my God.
It wasn't good?
It was so sweet.
The shrimp? Or you mean the biscuits or the shrimp?
The shrimp. They add sugar to everything there.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
The coconut shrimp? Yeah. Sweet. The scampi? Sweet.
Really?
The popcorn shrimp? Sweet. I'm like, what are they doing?
How much was it?
I think it was $25 for the endless shrimp.
Gotcha.
The grilled shrimp skewers were very good, though.
Mm. Yeah. I try to stay away from all you can eat, man. I try to. Sometimes we go to Golden Corral, but it's just like, you know, because growing up, it's like you go to all you can eat and you try to gorge yourself to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that you, like, I paid $15 to get in here. I'm going to get my money's worth, you know. Right. And so you gorge yourself and then you walk out of there, you feel like crap. And it's kind of like, yes.
And I did.
You know, and it's kind of, but I just, growing up, like when I was playing football, we used to go to Corral all the time. Right. Yeah. And it's like, we just see how many plates of food we eat. And then in college, it's like you go to CC's Pizza when that first started. It's like, how many pieces can we eat? But I mean, that's when your metabolism was high. Now, man, if I eat two plates of anything, I'm feeling like crap the whole next day. So right. It just all depends on where you are in life. But, yeah, I try to stay away from those places now, even though I'm 400 pounds, I mean. But I try to stay away from the all-you-can-eat places now because I'm just, you know, it'll just get ugly.
Absolutely. Real quick. And, real quick. You know, studies have shown that you will eat food if it's available, whether you like it or not. Whether you yes. like the food or whether or not you're hungry. There was a great study that was done with movie theater popcorn.
Yes.
You heard yes. about this one?
No, I'm just saying, yes, I will kill movie theater popcorn. That is one of the best things.
So what they did in this experiment was they had two-week-old movie theater popcorn. And they had fresh popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the two-week-old stale-ass popcorn in an extra-large container. Mm-hmm. And then they put the fresh popcorn in a smaller container. One of them tasted good, the other tasted bad. And then they measured how much people ate. And people inevitably ate far more of the crap-tasting, stale-ass, sticky in the throat, make you gag, two-week-old popcorn than they did of the stuff that came right out of the machine.
Because they feel like they're getting more.
It's just, if it's there, you eat it.
Yeah. Most of the time.
Most of the time.
I got friends that they'll eat some. If they don't think it's good, they won't eat it. They'll throw it away. See, that's, and that's another thing, though. Are you a food throwaway-er? Because I don't throw food away. Like, if my wife tastes something and she don't like it, she's like, I'm not eating it. I'm like, well, give it here, I eat it. Because I just don't believe in throwing food away.
Hmm.
So that's kind of along those lines. You know what I'm saying? Because I just think about, is people around the world is hungry? Who am I to throw food away? Like, that's one of my little pet peeves.
I have a hard time with it. I do have a hard time with it, but I will do it.
Okay.
If it's terrible and I know... If I know it's not going to be eaten, I will get rid of it. Now, food. Do you consider food to be the same as a raw ingredient? For example, ooh. Vegetables.
Ooh. Wait, what do you mean? Wait. What do you mean? I thought you was going somewhere else with it. I thought okay. you meant like if it's not like cooked all the way or something, would I throw it out?
That's what I'm saying. You have right. ingredients, fresh ingredients in your refrigerator, but you haven't gotten to it. It's getting close to spoiling.
No, my wife would get rid of it. My wife would get rid of it. She cleans out the refrigerator. If this is, yeah.
Because you won't force yourself to eat it.
Yeah, because now you might get sick. I'm just talking about something where I thought, like, we went out for our anniversary, right? Last week before last. And so... She ordered something and she really didn't care for it. So I'm like, okay, give it here. It ain't like it was like bad or rotten or whatever. She just didn't care for it. It ain't what she thought it was going to be. So I ate it. Now, if it's something that doesn't taste right, like if it's spoiled or something, no, then you get rid of it.
Now,
then I throw it away. It's bad.
A lot of raw stuff can teeter on the edge for a little while. Like, it doesn't look great, but it's not going to make you sick. I still end up tossing it.
Yeah, most of the time I might eat it just to be funny, but most of the time, no, I'm about safety.
To be funny? What do you mean?
Give me, ain't nothing wrong with that. And I eat it knowing that, oh, geez, this might be like milk. Like, if it's right there at the expiration date, I'm like, give me that, man. Pouring in some cereal and I eat it just to make a point. You know what I'm saying? But no, I'm all for that. No, I'm not, because I don't want to play with my health like that. So,
I'm for that.
I'm just talking about stuff, food that's fully cooked. You just didn't have, you know, it didn't taste like you thought it was going to taste. That's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to feel guilty.
Yeah, I'm a wuss when it comes to that. I know. So.
Yeah, and you know, we probably grew up with parents that were themselves brought up with a scarcity mindset, you know, because a lot of our grandparents grew up through the Great Depression.
Exactly.
And it was like, oh no, you make use of everything.
Everything. And my parents grew up in Hope, Arkansas on a farm. So yeah, they ate the pig, the rooter to the tooter. So they ate every part of the pig. Don't throw anything out. So yeah, I definitely understand that.
That was such a John Witherspoon line.
Not yet.
So, is this a football podcast?
They probably like, dude, these dudes can't stay on track for nothing. And we're sorry. But that's what you cover for. You getting our personality. And the Bills are not playing. So really, what difference does it make?
And I guess there's not big there's not big news right now. I mean, we covered the coaching changes, which I like.
Do you
feel like Joe Brady deserved that promotion?
Yes. He did enough to warrant it. In the end, it's like, who else out there that you could definitively say we could have gotten as better? And speaking of which, you see your boy from Washington, they've hired another offensive coordinator, so he's out. Eric Bieniemy.
Man, yeah. You know, that guy has seen his star fall over the past few years, hasn't he?
Yes, yes, man.
He struggles to get jobs.
Sometimes it's cold out there, man. I mean, I admire him, because we talked about it last year. I admire him betting on himself, but now it's kind of like, it's like you had to make it happen in Washington, and now the coach gone, now you're unemployed. But I'm sure he'll bounce back. He'll get on his feet. It has to be something else, the reason why he's not getting head coaching jobs. Mm-hmm. And once again, we've talked about that before, but now I'm sure he'll get another opportunity, but dang, man, it's rough, man. When you bet on yourself and sometimes you come up short.
And interestingly, they hired Cliff Kingsbury, and I'm not even sure if that's an improvement.
I know. Yeah.
Which is interesting, but you know, with Bieniemy, I feel like he must rub people the wrong way. They say he's a big personality.
And that's what I'm thinking, too. For you to get past them, it must be people don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never met the guy before, but yeah, that's what I'm assuming. And I hate to be like that and put that out there, but it has to be something. I mean, so.
All right.
You think he'll go back to Kansas City?
No. Yeah. No, I think they've moved on.
They moved on, yeah.
I think he's going to end up either at a lesser college program or he's going to end up being a running backs coach in the NFL.
Oh, so that means you feel like he's going to get downgraded then.
Yeah, I do, because if he doesn't want to sit at home, that's what he's going to have to do, because most of these jobs are taken already.
They're taken up. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, there's only so many jobs to go around.
No, you're totally right. So, yeah, I like our coaches change, like you said. I echo your sentiments. Because you know me, man, I like continuity going to the next season. So, and then I like with the D coordinator position, I'm like, man, we know McDermott calls the defense anyway. So, does it really matter? So,
what I'm hoping he does here, because I want to see the D, I want to see it evolve. And we saw this past season that there was some evolution in how they did it, mostly out of necessity. But I would really like for McDermott to give Babich autonomy to do with the defense what he sees necessary, while also mentoring him up and coaching him up on the things that he doesn't know yet about running the entire defense. Like, that's what I want to see. McDermott as a mentor for a guy who is eventually going to be a head coach.
Right.
That's my dream right there.
Yeah, I feel that. Speaking of which, you see Leslie Frazier.
Yeah.
He's going to be the D coordinator in Seattle.
Yes.
Yes. So, and I knew it. I knew when he took the quote-unquote leave of absence that was just a way of, you know, we're going to fire you. We'll just walk off. And then he was going to spend a year out of football and then be back in because he's good. He's too good not to be coordinator somewhere. So I'm happy for him, man. I'm a fan of his. Not saying that I'm mad that he left because I understand right. The situation, but I'm glad he landed on his feet.
And it's interesting. He must really not have much of an ego because he's going to another team where the head coach is probably going to be the one who implements the defensive game plans. Because right. They hired, what is it, Mike McDonald from the Ravens, their defensive mm-hmm. coordinator. And most first-year coaches like to put their stamp on the team when it comes to, you know, whatever they were doing as the coordinator before. I personally think that's a stupid thing to do. I personally think that when you become a head coach, you got to be the head coach and entrust your offense or defense to whoever you hire.
Yeah, but that's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's to me, if defense, like McDermott, defense is his, you know, wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. So are you really, you got the head coach's job because of that, what you did in Carolina, whoop-de-woo. So, yeah, you want to entrust people, your subordinates, to do their job. But at the same time, man, if I'm a die, I want the reason why I die to be me, not somebody else.
I get that, but don't you lose something in game management if you're calling plays?
And he definitely has, so I can't argue that. You're right. that's why I said I can see it both ways. Not to whiff on the answer, but I can see it both ways.
Sure.
You know, you're right. He probably is losing something in the game. That's why he probably lacks in that area. But I tell you, man, what I did, and I said it the whole season, I'm going to keep saying it, man, the job he did this year with so many injuries on defense, man, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, who else could have did that? So, if that's your wheelhouse, then you be the one. And once again, hopefully the game management stuff comes along and he improves. But you only have 100% to give. And so, if 90% of that is on call of defense and 10% game management, I'll take that instead of 50-50 or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, agree with that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good situation for us.
Have you ever played for a coach that called plays?
Well, in college.
Yeah.
Because high school, I mean, the head coach, we had an offensive coordinator too. No, you're right. Yeah, now I think about it, my high school and college coach, they leaned on their coordinators. They didn't call mm-hmm. either one. So they were the game manager people.
Mm.
Yeah. So now, yeah, you're right. My experience, now I think about it, I never even thought about it until now. They leaned on their coordinator. So our offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, high school and college, they called the plays. And then our head coaches would do, you know, the timeouts. They would do, okay, you know, work the refs. But yeah. Yeah, it was all the coordinators.
Who manages the substitution packages?
Your assistant is the person that keeps, you know, it might be a position coach, you know, like on offense, you might lean on your wide receiver coach or your running backs coach to get, you know, hey, we want this person to get this many reps. And so you got it on a card. So they know. And then if there's a certain situation come up, then obviously your offensive coordinator might have to make a call, you know.
But it seems like almost instantly the package of the personnel package switches. Like play over in a few seconds, all of a sudden new players are coming onto the field.
Yeah.
How do they figure it out that quickly and communicate it to the right people?
Because you practice it. That's so simple.
Somebody who's never been on a sideline before, tell me exactly the process.
Okay, if you have, all right, we're going trips right, whatever the play is, right? You know throughout the week that you're in this package, right? And you know what the play is. Okay, this is my play or whatnot. So
how do you know on the sideline what the play is going to be?
Because they're going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're going to tell you.
And that's why they're wearing headsets.
That's why they're headsets. They're all in communication with each other.
Okay, so when it's like...
Now in college, I see what your question is. In college, they got signs, right? So let's say we don't substitute, then how do you get to play in and you got signs and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like on the sideline, they got all the signs with the funny faces and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you got substitution packages, you know what packages you are.
Mm.
And so you practice that throughout the week where you know where to go when this play is called. And I'm only going to call this play, you know, like when I was in college, I played fullback, right? And I remember one specific game, and it was like, okay, we're going single back, because usually I'm the fullback. We're going to go single back, and we're going to run this ISO. And I'm like, coach, I've never did this before. I'm not supposed to get the ball in single back. But he wanted me to get it, you know? And so the quarterback turned one way, I went another. He still got it to me, but yeah, I went the wrong way. I botched that up. Well, he kind of botched it up. He didn't know I was in the game. But most of the time, that won't happen. I remember that from 1993 like it happened yesterday, right? So most of the time, to answer your question, most of the time, you're going to know your personnel because that's what you practice throughout the week. Hours of practicing that. And most of the time, you won't mess it up. You rehearse it. You got to think of football practice like you're rehearsing every day and your performance on Sunday. Because weren't you in the glee club or something in high school? Didn't you sing or something? I'm trying to relate to something you'd understand. Didn't you like with glee club or sing or didn't you do something like that?
No.
No?
You just made that shit up.
Because it was funny. I did. You didn't do no plays or nothing. I thought you didn't do none of that.
I was actually in one play. Okay. And I got the lead.
Okay.
I was Prince Charming in my first grade class's rendition of Sleeping Beauty.
Of course you was Prince Charming. Okay, yeah. That just says a lot. You just didn't want to tell that story because you know I'm going to give it to you. But yeah, no, you're Prince Charming.
No Glee Club, no acapella.
But you were Prince Charming. But you were Prince Charming, though.
Hell yeah, I was Prince Charming.
You were on the ladies early. Did you get to kiss the girl?
Oh, I was not going to kiss a girl at that age. No, no
chance. Like, you've been a player. You've been a player since the early 80s.
Yeah, dude.
But anyway, though, yeah. You rehearse those things, so that's why you really don't botch it up, man. You know, like when we run, like let's say when Buffalo runs trips, right? We get our blocking receivers out there. We might split the tight ends out there to know it's a run play, so we can stop block. Right. Mm-hmm. And that might be different than if we're actually running certain pass plays. You know what I'm saying? But we got guys that are so versatile, you could do both. Right. But sometimes when I used to split out to a slot, they pretty much know if you watch the film that it's going to be probably a run play because they want me out blocking.
Okay. So hypothetically speaking, it comes over the headset. We're running deep banana blackout. 97. Mm-hmm. And the coach hears that and turns and is like, Newt, D'Amico, get out there.
Yes. Because if we're substituting every play, right, usually we substituted every play. So let's just, you know, say we're substituting every play. Then you hear it over the headset, it comes down from, you know, the box. All right. Whoever's relaying the plays, they tell me I run the play. Somebody comes out, I go in, get the play. And then the next play, I might be in, and then it might be another receiver come in with the play. Another receiver go out. Okay, next play, another tight end will go double tight ends. I'm still in the game. So you relay you relay the plays in and out from a person. But once again, that was in the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
right? So now, if you once again, you watch college, they got signs to do it. You read the signs. You know how they always have funny signs up and stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. So those signs mean something, but that's the point. They rehearse those things throughout the week so everybody knows their job.
And if anybody out there wants to at me on Twitter, at the Jamie D'Amico, regarding my reference to Deep Banana Blackout, I'll be waiting for you.
Oh, man. Let's talk about the Pro Bowl, bro. Did you
watch? Let's do it.
Did you watch the Pro Bowl?
No, definitely not.
I didn't either, so I can't tell you much about it. I know the NFC won. It was a flag football type deal. I didn't even bother looking at the stats, and frankly, I don't even care. So, but the thing I do want to talk about is I was talking to my friends about it this weekend, right? You need to make the Pro Bowl cool again.
Mm.
Okay? And what I mean by that is, USA basketball, like Olympic basketball, wasn't cool for a while. We was winning all the gold medals and all that stuff. Then the Dream Team came, and it mm-hmm. came cool. Then it kind of fizzled out. Then LeBron and them all teamed up, and he made it cool again. That's what we got to do. We got to figure out a way to make the Pro Bowl cool again. See, they're doing all this crap now with the flag footballs and you know, dodgeball and all this crap, because they're saying, quote unquote, that it's too dangerous and guys don't want to do it. Well, mm-hmm. you're a multi-billion dollar industry. You got to give them incentives to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then we should, because I feel like I'm saying all this to say we should go back to the game. I've been to two Pro Bowls, witness, not played, but witnessed it. And that thing is like the funnest thing ever to me. Because you got the best of the best. But it's like the last couple of years, when it was a real game, it became a force. Like, they weren't playing hard. They're going half speed. And they're taking that from the NBA All-Star Weekend, where mm-hmm. they scored 200 points and nobody's playing. But see, that's different. You could go half speed at basketball. Because people are coming to see LeBron, D-Wade. They're coming to see the superstars.
They want to see the ball go in the basket.
They want to see the ball and dunks and all that stuff, right? Where in football, we want to see Sauce Gardner against Diggs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We want to see Deion Dawkins against J.J. Watt or whatever, T.J. Watt. You want to see the best go against the best. And so when they say, well, they don't want to play because they don't want to get hurt. And I'm like, well, my pushback would that be, well, that means you don't practice then because you're scared you're going to get hurt? You don't want to practice? Or you're not going to play week? You're not going to play a preseason because you don't want to get hurt? Or you're not going to play week four because you're scared to get – whenever you play football, it's a potential that you get hurt. But it's like – and my friends was like, well, you don't want your quarterback getting hit now. Okay, well, just don't hit him. Let's wrap up. A sack is a wrap. You got to wrap him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's ways you could do it and it still be a fun and good and competitive game. You know, but this stuff they got now, this flag, I don't even like watching. Like, when Jalen was younger, he played flag football. I didn't really want to watch it. So I know I don't want to watch the best in the world play flag football. You know, it's a place for it. I get it. You know, 7-on-7 and all that stuff. But I just want real football, especially with the best of the best. I just think you just got to figure out a way to make it cool again, to get people to want to do it, you know, like talk trash. Like I said, Sauce Gardner talking trash to Diggs, and let's see him go out there and see if Diggs can catch balls on him, you mm-hmm. know? So I think it's a way you could do it. We just got to figure out a way. But no, Sunday, all that stuff, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't care. I can care less what they do out there.
I've never been a fan of it because they go half speed and it's not like watching real football. And I do love how you just said you didn't want to go watch your son play flag football because you wanted to watch the crock pot give kids brain injuries.
It's so funny. He did too. He played flag football. He'd be running through kids, you know. But yes, you're right. He would.
Jim Kelly got hurt. He ruptured the bursar sac in his throwing elbow during a Pro Bowl game.
Okay.
Players were begging out of that left and right. Like, they were going, like, 12 deep at positions because nobody would show up anymore.
Right. You got to make, it's like having a club. You got to make people want to come to your, you got to make it hot again. And I just think you can. It's too much money being made, not being able, you see what I'm saying? Like, people backed out of it because that's cool to back out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got to make it cool again where people want to play. That's my whole point.
Yeah, I guess you need the right crew of people to do it. And yeah. it's sort of like how Dre got the Beats headphones on all the athletes, and now right. The whole world wears Beats headphones.
And I'm wearing them. Y'all can see, well, I know you can't see me on here, but I got the Beats headphones, man. Yeah.
And they're not even good headphones.
I love these things.
I don't know. I've never listened to them.
Oh, yeah. I love these things, man. And these the old ones. The kids got the wireless ones. Now, that's what all the kids wear now. So you're right, man. Like, every kid be walking around school and walking around the mall with just headphones on their wireless. Like these. Oh. Like, the earbuds is not, you know, the thing. That's not 2024. You got to get the Beats wireless, full, you know, noise-canceling headphones.
Man.
You know.
That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah.
So the big game. It's coming up on Sunday.
Yes. San Francisco against Kansas City again.
Again.
Yes. Taylor Swift.
What are you expecting?
Taylor Swift to be there. 14-hour flight. She's doing a show in China or Asia somewhere, and she'll be flying to get there to see her boo play. So, see Taylor Swift. But you didn't mean that, huh? You meant on the field?
Yeah.
That's the story. I mean, that's the story of the thing, though. Taylor Swift being there. And then also the second story is Patrick Mahomes Sr. getting DWIs again. He's a drunk.
Oh, yeah.
He's a drunk. He's a drunk, man. Nah. But you said, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Kansas City is 2-point favorites at this point. It's on the West Coast. Is San Francisco able to corral Kelce and minimize Patrick Mahomes? They have the defense to do it, okay? Is San Francisco quarterback going to be able to make plays under the bright lights? Is Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, going to be able to hang with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Patrick Mahomes? All right. That's the question. That's what you have to ask yourself. Kansas City has been there. They had a tough road going on the road. We doubted that they do that. Go to Buffalo, go to Baltimore and get wins.
Mm-hmm.
I think San Francisco is more talented, right?
Top to bottom.
They have the better roster. They have more talent, but Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes.
That's just it.
You know, and like I said, they got Taylor Swift. I think Kelce's going to have a big game. I think Mahomes going to throw 3-4 touchdowns. I think Kansas City's going to win.
Yeah.
But that's my prediction.
I'm not betting it, but
that's my prediction.
I feel like the only way San Francisco is going to win this game is if they run the ball so well. And the defense plays so well that they don't have to put the ball in Purdy's hands. As we have seen, that Purdy can be really good when his receivers are running around wide open.
Right.
But the Niners have good receivers. They're big. They're physical. But the Chiefs are great in coverage. They're not great against the run. So San Francisco has a chance here.
Yeah.
But Mahomes, Kelce, the Chiefs defense, which is really good.
And they've been there. The experience. They've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So you go with KC? You going with KC?
I am. And I want them to win. Can you believe I'm saying that? I want them to win.
Why do you want Kansas City to win?
Because if they win, we may end up seeing Andy Reid retire, and we may end up seeing a bunch of their players, because they've got a ton of free agents this year, that are going to be out looking for the payday and not worry about the winning anymore.
Ah, I like it. I like that.
If I'm L'Jarius Sneed, I'm going to look at it and be like, you know what? I got my Super Bowls. Now I'm going to go make money somewhere.
I like it. Okay.
If they all stick around, well, we may end up looking at a dynasty here, if it's not already.
Right. That's what I'm about to say. Isn't it already 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So isn't it already a dynasty?
Perhaps.
I think it is.
Probably.
I think it is. It can't be more dynasty. I mean, New England, but I mean, yeah. If you're saying Andy Reid might maul over retiring, I'll take that all day. So
yeah, he can't coach forever. Look at him. He looks like a walrus. I don't know if that has to
leave
do with
that dude wrong, man. He's a great coach, man.
He is a great coach.
Hall of Famer, man. He did it, so I'm happy for him. He seems like a good guy, so.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems fairly goofy. You know, mowing his cheeseburgers and.
Right. I like the commercials, man. The State Farm commercials. So yeah. You know those tickets, bro? Have you looked at ticket? Well, you know that's kind of like my thing. I like looking at ticket prices.
No.
To get in the building, I'm talking about the worst seat in the house, $7,000.
Oof.
You want to sit 50-yard line behind the Chiefs, $43,000.
43.
43,000.
Oh.
$43,000.
Wow. And that doesn't include the price of getting to Las Vegas,
right,
which is through the roof right now.
I'm just thinking, like,
as our hotels.
What do you do for a living to where you go on? Because I go on StubHub all the time to get, you know, tickets and stuff, whatever. You know, obviously I don't pay anything near that. But what do you do for a living where you like, yeah, I think I'm going to just drop $43,000. $43,000 to go see the Super Bowl. You want, babe, you want to go to the Super Bowl? Okay, give me two of them. All right, that'll be $87,000.
Yeah. There's a lot of people with a lot of money out there. And
that want to go to football games?
I mean, they've only got, what, like $10,000, $43,000 tickets? So there's only 10,000 of those people.
No. Because, I mean, the times I've been to the Super Bowl, obviously I got free tickets, right? And so... Mm-hmm. You know, when you go, most of the time, the people who go to these things, they get corporate sponsorships. They get a free ticket. Now, you're going to find right. some Kansas City, and you're going to find some San Francisco. Oh, man, I've been saving my whole life. Like Jared always talking about that with the Bills backers. Man, I got my little stash. If Buffalo ever makes it to the Super Bowl, I'm paying whatever. Right? Mm-hmm. But he said that, what, like 15 years ago? Ticket prices has soared since then. So
yeah, we back then you could get in for
right $1,000 or maybe $800, where the mm-hmm. face value would be like $400. You get in for $800, right? That's manageable. Yeah. Like right now, what would be the most that you'd pay in your life right now for a Super Bowl ticket if Buffalo was playing in it? What would be your cap?
$6,000.
$6,000. Okay. So you'd pay $5,000 and then another grand to get there, food, hotel, whatnot.
Oh, that's just for the ticket. I would probably go up to $10,000.
Nice. Okay. I wouldn't have thought that. All right. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you're willing to pay to go see Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't like it, but I would do it.
I don't think my wife loves me to death and she might. Here's how I am with it. My wife loves me. Right. And I think she would want me to go. I don't think I could do it.
Oh, yeah.
I think I would just fly to the city. I've done that a couple of times. Just fly to the city and enjoy the festivity.
I think what I would do is wait I would go there and I would hang out and I would tailgate and I would wait until kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would buy a ticket.
Okay. And you'd have 10 grand in your pocket, or, well, you don't have to have it in your pocket. You can cash out people now, but, you know, you'd have it in your mind, like the proverbial, in your, I got 10 grand in my pocket, I'm willing to pay.
Yeah, 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 for an overall, yeah, overall budget, yeah. 10 grand.
I got you. When Notre Dame made it to the championship against Alabama in 2013, I went down to Miami with my father-in-law. I had $1,000 in my pocket. I'm like, we tailgated and all this stuff. I'm like, if I could get a ticket for less than $1,000, then I will do it. I'm willing to pay $1,000. That was 10 years ago.
Mm.
Right, that was 2013. It was 11 years ago. 2013, we was in the championship.
Everything's a lot more expensive
it's
now, man.
A lot more expensive now. So I just don't think I could bring myself to pay it now. I think I'll just be like, I'm good. I'll just, you know, watch it on TV and all that. Because now is like, you know what you could do with 10 grand, like. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying? So
you can go. You can get everything on the menu at Red Lobster.
Yes, those sweet scampies and shrimp.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think I'd do it. So I think they'd have priced me out of, you know, games now. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to do it. I'll just go to the city. Like, if we made it to the Super Bowl, I would have just went to Vegas, hung out, had a good time. Excuse me, had a good time, take everything in, but I don't think I could have dropped the money to actually go in the building. I would have been at the stadium, though. I would have been tailgating, you know. I would have been outside drunk, you know, once you came out celebrating the victory.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Someday. So,
oh, one day before I die. Give me one before I die.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get in the Senior Bowl? The Senior Bowl was this week. You want to talk about that, or are you good?
I don't know enough about it. Yeah. I didn't follow it closely enough.
Yeah, I saw the Spencer Rattler from South Carolina got MVP. They said he had a good week, so he helped his stock. So, yeah.
I'll end up reading a lot more about it between now and the draft.
Yes, yes. We will get into those things during the offseason, obviously. And see what we're going to do to make our team better for next year, man. Also, before we go, did you see Stephon Diggs? They asked him at the Pro Bowl, you know, what is future in Buffalo like? And he was like, I don't know. Basically, like, I don't know. I mean, if I'm there, I'll give it my all. But if not, so be it. So now all this, once
he
again,
gives his cryptic answers. Right. I think he does it because he likes trolling people.
How do you feel about that? If we talked about this during the year, if you could trade him, would you trade him?
It depends on what I could get.
A first round pick.
I would have to be in the top 12.
So you said a first round pick ain't enough for Stephon Diggs?
Not unless it's in the top 12.
Oh, wow.
Like, if you're going to give me the number 31 overall pick, no. He's better than whoever is going to be the number 31 pick.
Oh, wow. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. All right. No. I was ready to go down to a 2 and a 3. I thought you was going to be like, okay.
2 and a 3.
I'm at a place where,
Let's save this for a different conversation.
Yes, we'll save it. I don't care. Yes, if you want to go, you can go. We can save that money. I'll say it like this. Here, because we're in minute number 53 now. So that means if you're still listening to us, you're real fans. Okay. You're really fans of the Jamie D. Big News Show. All I'm saying is, I would love to keep him. I think he's very good. But if he did get traded and we got a first round pick, couple seconds or something, I would not cry. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
At this point, I wouldn't cry. I'm like, all right, who we gonna get with the first round pick? Now we got two first round picks. Who we gonna get?
Yeah, well, it becomes fun, but it has to be somebody who steps in and is a good receiver right out of the gate. You don't have time to develop someone.
he had a thousand yards. He had a good season, right? Mm-hmm. I just think his overall production, we can make it up what we have.
Okay.
That's what I think. But we'll talk about it more.
Well, okay. I'm going to go get a snack.
We'll see y'all in 2 weeks. Hey.